any of us. And I suppose it's one of the most painful subjects that any of us have to study. And I'm going to talk about a look at self. You know, it's all right to look at somebody else. But when we have to look at self, then that's a very painful thing for all of us to have to do. But the Word of God teaches that we are to look at self. The Apostle Paul said in Romans, the 12th chapter and verse 3, he says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So here you can see he points out that we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. In the 6th chapter of the Galatian letter, and looking down, if you will, to about the 3rd verse, he says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." And then the apostle, as he wrote to the Corinthians, said in the 13th chapter and the 5th verse of 2 Corinthians, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." So you can see that the Word of God tells us that we need to look at self. And self can be out of harmony with the will of God. So every man's estimate of self should be a correct one. It should be an estimate that is according to the will of Almighty God. I should try to see myself as the Lord sees me. Now the Lord has given me a way to see myself as He sees me, and He has given me the Word of God. This is the way I see myself. This is my mirror. Now, all of us, we have a mirror to see our physical selves in our homes. Maybe we have several mirrors where we can view our physical selves. And I dare say that everybody in this audience this morning viewed a mirror before they came. They looked in the mirror to see how they looked. Many of us, who are the males, we looked in the mirror this morning and we shaved, at least most of us, and to see how to keep from cutting ourselves. And then we combed our hair, and you see, we looked at ourselves. But we need to see ourselves spiritually. This is what we're talking about this morning. We need to see our souls. We need to see the inner man. What does the inner man look like? And the apostle points this out in, or at least James, rather, the inspired writer, points this out in James, the 1st chapter, that we see ourselves through the Word of God. He says, beginning in chapter 1 and verse 22, he says, "But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So James points out that we are to look into the perfect law of liberty, and we are to see ourselves, and we are to continue in this perfect law, doing what the Lord has required of us. And he tells us we'll be blessed. So we need to see ourselves. Well, why do we need to look at ourselves? Well, if you remember the verse that I read in 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, he gives us an insight why we need to look at ourselves. He said, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith." This is 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. So I need to look at myself in accordance with the faith. the revelation, this body of revelation. Am I in the faith? In other words, am I doing what James said to in James 1 and verse 25? Am I continuing in the Word, in the things that I have been taught? And I need this examination to see whether or not I am abiding in the faith. As Paul would say, as he wrote to the Corinthians in the 1 Corinthian letter, in the 16th chapter of that letter, and looking down in verse 13, he says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong," or behave like men is the idea. But he says, stand fast in the faith. So I need to examine myself to see whether or not I'm standing fast in the faith. And I need to look at every area of my life. I need to look at the faith. I need to understand what the will of the Lord is. And I need to ask myself, am I really doing what the Lord wants me to do? But he said, not only am I to examine myself to see whether or not I'm in the faith, but he also points out to see whether or not Christ is in us. He says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Christ is in you except you be reprobates? Is Christ truly in me? You see, Christ is to live in me. My life is to be hid in Christ. This is what the Colossian writer said in Colossians 3 and verse 3 when he says, "For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." Now, I live a new life. I live the life patterned after the life of Christ. Christ liveth in me. He set the perfect example. I am to live the life that he lived. I am to follow his example. As he lived, so I am to live. And when men see me, they are to see Christ living in me. Paul said, as he wrote to the Galatians, in Galatians 2 and verse 20, he says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So he says in this verse that Christ lives in him. Our lives are hid in Christ and in God. And when men see us, they are to see Christ. You remember the apostle would say concerning his own life as he wrote to the Philippians in the first chapter, and verse 21, he says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Now, can I look at my own life and to say, "For me to live is Christ"? Can I say Christ truly lives in me? Is my life patterned after the life of Christ? Can I say that? Am I following his example, you see? Now, he lives in me through faith. Paul said in Ephesians 3 and verse 17, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love." So, is Christ in us? Can I say that Christ is in me? Now, he said, I need to examine myself to see whether or not I am in the faith, to see whether or not Christ is in me. And I need to examine myself to see whether or not I'm a reprobate. The idea of reprobate here is not standing the test. Am I standing the test? If I am a reprobate, it simply means that as I examine myself, then I have come to the conclusion that I am not abiding in the faith and Christ is not living in me. Now, he says, I can know myself, really, if I examine myself. He says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? Why, showing that we can know, if we want to know, how that Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. And of course, as I've said, the idea of reprobate is the idea of not standing the test. Am I standing the test? When I examine myself, do I measure up? Is Christ living in me? Am I truly in the faith? And I need to examine myself that I might know myself. You know, we often say that we don't know other people. Sometimes somebody's name may be mentioned and you may say, well, I really don't know that person. And maybe you've been associated with them a long time, but there's things about them that's still a mystery to you. I've known people for years that I don't know. Oh, I know their name. I know what their face looks like. But I don't know them because I have never figured them out. I don't know whether they know themselves or not, but I'm sure I don't know them. But here's the sad part. Sometimes we don't know ourselves, you see. That's the reason we need to examine ourselves. Sometimes I may think I'm something I'm not. You remember, this is what Paul warned us about. Go back to the Galatian letter in the 6th chapter there when he says in verse 3, "For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself." So Paul said, I can deceive myself. Now I want to give you some examples of people who did not know themselves. And Peter, of course, stands out as a prime example in the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew. Here is a man who really thought he knew himself. In about verse 31 of the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, we hear the Lord now as he speaks to his disciples after now they have sung the hymn and they have gone out into the Mount of Olives. Then verse 31 said, "Then saith Jesus unto them," talking to his disciples, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But then he says, but after I am raised again, I will go before you into Galilee." Now listen to Peter. "Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Now listen to him. Peter said, "Now, Lord, what you said about the sheep being scattered, this doesn't apply to me." He said, "Now, everybody may be offended, but I will never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." In other words, three times, Peter, you will deny me. And Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. Now Peter said, "Lord, even if I have to go to death, I won't deny you." And then all the disciples, they spoke up and said, "That's our feeling." But Peter, you can see, is very vocal. He didn't know himself. He said, "Now, Lord, I won't deny you." The Lord said, "Yes, you will deny me. You will deny me three times." And if you will read in the latter part of this chapter, you will see that's exactly what Peter did. In verse 69, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Now, you see, he's already denied him two times. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Now listen. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now, did Peter know himself? No. Did Peter think he knew himself? Yes. Yes. And how many of us have thought we knew ourselves when we did not? Many of us have learned the hard way that we did not know ourselves. I frankly admit to you, I have learned the hard way on occasions that I did not know myself. I did not understand myself. And many times the thing that we say we will never do is the thing that we wind up doing. And it is because many times we don't know ourselves. And this is the trouble with Peter. He didn't truly know himself. He was too self-conceited, you see, and too prideful. He just could not admit that he might have some weakness to deny the Lord. Oh, no, Peter said, I won't be one that does that. Well, Peter, or not Peter, but Paul warns, as he wrote to the Corinthians. He said in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, he says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, Paul here says, men who are overconfident, the man that thinks he stands, he had better take heed, he had better watch, lest he fall. And so you can see we need to know ourselves. You know, we may commend ourselves and be condemned by Almighty God. The apostle said, as he wrote to the Corinthians, in the second Corinthian letter, in the 10th chapter, and if you'll look to about the 18th verse of that chapter, Paul said, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Not the man that commendeth himself, but whom the Lord commendeth. And then he warns us about a great fault. In verse 12, he says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Wouldn't hurt for us to write that verse down and memorize it. Because this is what really gets members of the church in trouble. The Lord is the standard. Men are to strive to be examples, good examples, before one another. But don't look at somebody and measure yourself and say, I'm doing as good as he is. The standard is perfect. Don't go around measuring yourselves by others. Measure yourself by the Lord. And people who measure themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not very wise people, the apostle said. And so we can see many times we really don't know ourselves. And many times we commend ourselves by measuring ourselves by others, and others fall way short of the standard to begin with, and we haven't helped ourselves by measuring ourselves by them. But because this is our standard of measurement, many times this is the reason we don't know ourselves. But when should we look at ourselves? When should I look at myself? Well, I need to watch myself every day. Our Lord said in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew in verse 13, He says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now, I don't know when the Lord's going to come. You don't know when He's going to come. I need to watch myself at all times. You know, Paul went on to say in that Galatian letter, as we looked at Galatians 6 while ago in 3, but in that fourth verse, he says, "But let every man prove his own work." So I need to watch myself at all times, proving my own work by the will of the Lord every day. So I need to continually look at myself, watch myself at all times. I need to watch myself when I am alone. You know, I need to recognize that I am before God. When I come over here to this church building and go to the study to work, I am before God, and what I do is before God, and what I do in that study is to be pleasing in the sight of God. Wherever you go or wherever I go, God sees us and knows. So I need to examine myself and watch myself upon a daily basis, upon an hourly basis, upon every minute of the day basis, so to speak. But what keeps us from seeing ourselves? Why is it many times we don't see ourselves? Well, let's go back to one of the texts we started with in the Roman letter. In the 12th chapter, in verse 3 of the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, he says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." But then he goes on to say, "But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." But what I want to look at is this expression, "not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." Conceit, you see. Look at verse 16 of the same chapter. He says, "Be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things," you see. Notice that expression. Don't mind high things, "but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." Now, this gets us in trouble. Many times we are conceited. We're wise in our own conceit. We're wise with ourselves. We have an overestimation of self. In other words, we have a self-flattering opinion of ourselves. And it causes us to exalt ourselves above our true station in life. And whenever we exalt ourselves above our true station in life, and I began to look at myself and I say, "Well, look who I am. Why, I preach for the Hebron Lane Church of Christ. I'm a preacher of the gospel. Look who I am. Why, I've preached for years. Look who I am." You see, and I began to exalt myself to some great station and flattering opinion of myself. Well, what's going to happen? well, I'm going to become puffed up, and I'm going to get ready to get into trouble. Because I find a fella in the 18th chapter of the book of Luke that had that opinion of himself. Beginning with verse 9 of the 18th chapter of Luke, the record says, "And he spake this parable unto certain that trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." You see. You know, sometimes folks get to thinking, well, look who I am. That won't bother me. Look who I am. I'm righteous. That might bother him, but it won't bother me. Have you ever seen that attitude in the church? I've seen it in the church. I've seen it among us who preach. And I've also seen we who preach, who have feet of clay, who had that attitude, I have seen them drop to the bottom, and it'll happen to me, and it'll happen to you. When we don't fully see ourselves, who we are, I need to recognize that I am like you. I tabernacle in the flesh. I have weaknesses just as you have weaknesses. I must take every warning that the Lord has given me about sin. Every warning that you have to watch, I have to watch. Every warning that you have to watch, this eldership has to watch. We must not exalt ourselves and think of ourselves in some conceited way. But this man, you see, he did. He said, he went on to say, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one of Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican." You see the attitude he had? Boy, he looked down his nose at everybody. This fellow was in trouble, in bad trouble. He says to the Lord, "I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." Lord, you ought to be glad to have me. You ought to be glad to have me. Think about how wonderful I am, Lord. Instead of being grateful for the grace of God, that he had the privilege of being able to communicate with the Heavenly Father and the privilege of helping other people. And all that he was to be attributed to the goodness and the grace of Almighty God. But no, that was not his attitude, you see. He didn't know himself. The publican standing up, afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. He smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now notice verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So he showed that this fella really did not understand himself, and this fellow's whole trouble was conceit. This is what the Lord warns me about, being conceited. That's what I have to wrestle with every day, pride and conceit. Yes. You know, the Lord knows how to destroy us. I mean, the devil knows how to destroy us. Excuse me, I didn't mean to say that. The devil knows how to destroy us. He knows how to appeal to our pride and conceit. And the Lord warns us about our pride and conceit. And we need to understand that. And the devil knows that he can keep me from seeing myself if he can cause me to be conceited. Conceited. Oh, yes. I've had to deal with conceit. I think everybody that preaches probably has to deal with conceit. When you start out preaching the gospel and you're young and you're dealing with problems and sins and the sins of other people, it can make you a terribly conceited person. I'll tell you that. Make you a terrible conceited person. You can begin to deal with everybody's problems many times and not see your own problems. And it can cause you to be conceited and rather unmerciful. And there's the example. And sometimes we have to fall. And we have to see our own weaknesses and our own frailties and get rid of some of our conceit. And when we get rid of some of our conceit, then we can be more what God would have us be, you see. Conceit, that gets in our way. We have to work on conceit all the time, most of us. Pride. These are the destructive factors in our lives. Another thing that keeps us from seeing ourselves is a fault-finding spirit. And I've gone through that in my life. You know, being a preacher, it is not easy to be a preacher. Don't think it is easy to be a preacher. Don't think you're not tempted much in being a preacher. If you think preaching is a position, a place where there are no temptations to destroy you, then you do not understand. You do not understand what it's all about. The devil likes to destroy all of us. He has his ways of working on all of us. Now, another way that he can cause us not to see ourselves is with a hypocritical attitude. I can look back in my life and find myself on occasions being hypocritical. Again, this is what one can fall into as a preacher when he deals with everybody's sins all the time. He can become so hypocritical that he has no mercy to reach out to people. Now listen to Jesus. He dealt with it. He says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite. First cast the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye." Now, why did the Lord speak that? Because we all needed it. That's the reason he spoke it. He spoke that we might see ourselves, but a hypocritical attitude. You know, I wouldn't do this, and I wouldn't do that. Look what he's doing. Look at yourself. What am I doing? What would I do if I was in his shoes? Think about it. What would I do? Well, I might do worse than he does. Hypocritical attitude. They're very destructive. They're destructive to our own lives. They keep us many times from seeing ourselves. Sometimes we can be hypocritical of others And while we're sitting in grave judgment upon them, and Paul warned the Jews about this and also warns us in Romans 2, we can be guilty of some of the same things or sins just as bad, and any sins just as bad as some other sin in Romans 2. When he says in verse 21, "Thou therefore which teacheth another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest that a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that saidst a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written." Now here he deals with this fault-finding spirit sometimes, and we find ourselves as guilty on one end of the stick as the other fellow is on the other. What he's saying is, examine yourself. Nobody's sin is right before God. It needs to be corrected, but sometimes we need to get our own corrected before we're in a position to correct others. But many times we don't see others because of our fault-finding attitude. We think we're something when we're nothing, as he said in Galatians 6 and verse 3. And then sin is very deceitful. Very, very deceitful. I'll tell you something else, brethren. Many times we want to justify what we want to justify. And that's the reason we don't see ourselves. In Hebrews 3 and verse 13, he says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." It deceives us. And sin can come into my life, and I can be deceived by it, and I can think, well, it's not so bad. Yes, it is. It's terrible. There's no justification for any sin in my life or your life. It'll send either one of us to hell. But I need to see myself. I need to see myself as I am. And these are some of the things that keeps me from seeing myself. Conceit, fault-finding. I know that's been a problem in my own life as a preacher many times. I have fought and worked against these very things. These are the very things that the devil uses on us who are before his people as teachers and leaders. But some questions. But I'd like to say, what should I look for in myself? Well, one of the first things I've got to see in myself, I've got to see this. I've got to see my weakness. I have weakness. I have grave weakness in some areas. You do too. Now, before I can be what God would have me be, I must be able to view and see my weaknesses and admit my weaknesses. I must admit where they are, where they are found, what areas they're found in my life. Now, when I find these weaknesses, I must doubly guard myself in these areas. Now, if I don't doubly guard myself in the areas where my weaknesses are, what will happen to me? I'll fall back into my weaknesses. Now, I have to understand that about myself. And then I need to look at my strength. I need to see where my strength is, but I do not need to become overconfident. Sometimes we fall because our overconfidence where our strength is. But I need to see my strength. Know where my strength is. Know where my weakness is. And then there are some questions that will help me. I need to ask myself, am I fair? I need to ask myself, am I fair with God? You know, Israel accused God of unfairness in Ezekiel 13:17. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. Yes, God's ways are equal and God is fair, but am I fair with God? Am I fair with God? Am I fair in my dealing with God? Now, we talk about being fair with one another. Am I fair with my God? Do I give him the devotion and the worship that he rightly deserves? Do I reach down in my pocket on the first day of the week and give a proportionate part of my goods back into his service? That is my responsibility and my duty if I am to be pleasing. Am I fair with him? Am I fair with Jesus Christ, my Savior? Am I fair, you see? This helps me to see myself. Am I fair with my brethren in my relationship with them? Am I fair to myself? You see, many times we're not fair to ourselves. We're not fair with God and Christ. We're not fair with ourselves. And am I really fair with my companion? You see, these would be sermons in themselves. Many times we're not fair with our companion. We're not fair. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 7. The fairness that is to be shown, the conjugal dues, the conjugal love that is to be mutual and concern for one another, fair in all other areas of life. Do I treat my wife fair? Do I treat my children fair? My brethren fair? Am I fair? You say, just come down the line and ask yourself, do I really practice the golden rule? And then, what about my character? Am I unstable in character? I really need to try to see myself. You know, the Bible says concerning Reuben in the Old Testament, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel because thou wentest up on thy father's bed, then defilest thou it? He went up on my couch in Genesis 49 and verse 4. He, of course, lay with his father's wife, Bilhah, as you see in the 35th chapter. But what did he say about him? He said his character was as unstable as water. This past week, I was talking to a gospel preacher, and I mentioned another preacher. I'd had some correspondence, or some correspondence had come my way, and he said, I'll tell you, Donald, about him. And I've dealt with him. And he went in, and he did. He knew what he was talking about. He says, you're dealing with a very, very unstable man. But that's terrible, you know. Terrible. To be unstable, it's pitiful. And I know some of the man's unstable. I know some of his instability. I know that he even quit the Lord's church, quit preaching for 7 years, and lost his family to the devil. I know that much about him. That's sad. But am I unstable? I need to look in my own life. What has my instability done to my family, to my wife, my brethren? Am I unstable?
Do brethren view me as being an unstable person? Well, I need to try to see myself. I need to try to see if I am unstable. Do I have weakness in the flesh?